Yeah, so all right, so let's get this started, man.
All right.
No one cares about conference calls. Everyone wants hookers and below. That's what the people want.
Yeah.
Can you make more noise, Laura?
Good thing is I can only hear a little bit of it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is couch 70-something.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're starting now.
Okay.
All right, so the first virus-free topic we're going to talk about is virtual NASCAR because they can't meet because of the virus.
Okay.
This was your topic.
Yeah, are you watching virtual NASCAR races?
No. The thing that I wonder about is there is the last couple of years there hasn't been anyone in the crowds anyway. I mean, what's the point? I guess they don't want the pit crews to get sick.
I guess so.
Yeah, but they were the last couple of years of TV coverage. They've been specifically trying to hide the fact that there's no one in most of the crowds.
Yeah.
So what's the point? You know, they could still have the races. They just might have to keep, you know, the cars further apart from each other. Maybe only have one pit guy over the wall at a time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, of all the sports, at least if they're gonna do virtual, why don't they all play like Crazy Taxi or something like that?
Yeah.
at least make it fun. Yeah, or just something in general. I don't understand. I mean, I guess if you're that hard up, I don't even understand how ESPN is still on the air, or yeah, even how sports talk is going. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, sports talk has always been terrible to begin with, but now there's really nothing to talk about. Why don't they just air porn or something else?
Yeah.
I would like the virtual NASCAR races where it would just delve into, I guess, I haven't watched any of them, but maybe if they have the announcers, at least if the announcers talked about how pointless it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm almost curious because unlike virtual football, virtual NASCAR can work. I don't know that anyone's going to watch it, but the thing is with virtual NASCAR, I have a few questions. Are they going to restart people who crash?
Yeah.
That would be great. Because you're going to have big crashes every couple of laps.
Yeah, especially if they drive the cars in the opposite direction.
Yeah, how long before somebody snaps?
Because that was always fun to do in the NASCAR games. When you would go in the opposite direction, it's just telling you the entire time, like, wrong direction, wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like juvenile. I mean, I always graduated to actually almost racing properly and just seeing how many cars I could wreck and still stay on the track. And, I mean, doing it for real, making sure that my car damage model is turned up. Because it's no fun if you just go out there and wreck everybody. That gets boring. And if this is the only game you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see one driver. He just goes nuts and starts taking the car into the crowd.
Believe me, they probably have all that policed.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't. Yeah.
It's not going to be fun. Yeah, apparently the NASCAR's virtual racing is pulling in 1.3 million people.
Yeah.
So that's, you got 1.3 million people watching it.
I don't know, with that big of an audience, maybe I wouldn't fuck around.
Yeah, but, someone's watching it, I guess.
Yeah, and also it takes out an awful lot of the fact that sometimes you have good drivers that just never get good equipment. I assume all the cars are generic.
Yeah.
So you should see, and also is NASCAR just going to throw cautions to keep the pack tight? Because you know they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to have to finally institute a rule that says when the racing gets too spread out, we will throw a caution specifically in order to tighten the race back up and give the crowds a spectacle? They do it, but they don't admit it, and they should. And they should tell drivers, okay, this is when a caution is going to come out.
Well, I'm sure the drivers have at least a general idea that it's going on.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If a popular driver is about to go down a lap, they're going to throw a caution.
Yeah.
But if it's an unpopular driver, they don't care. And that's one thing I would like to see is, no, we're going to make this a strategic thing. When these conditions are met, it's not just going to be when a popular driver is about to go down, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's tantamount to cheating, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a form of cheating, because you're essentially stacking the deck, because for ratings, and which, I mean, it's cheating, but then you understand why, because you're going to have your hardcore people, but
I mean, why don't they say that we're going to stack the deck in favor of the more popular drivers? And if you don't like it, become a more popular driver.
I don't know. That's a valid question. I mean, why don't they say that? I mean, they do the same thing in the NFL also. I mean, they change all their rules to protect the quarterback, to keep them upright and not from getting hit, to put points on the board. Because
that also protects them from getting sued, I think.
Well, it's mainly done, you know, the spin on it is like, oh, this is all done for health reasons. It's like, no, it's not really. Hey, my food is... But, yeah, they tell you, oh, yeah, this is done for safety, but it's mainly to keep those guys on the field. Because who wants to watch a backup quarterback play?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. You're right. All the other players don't get that kind of protection.
Yeah, because they're the face of the team.
Yeah.
And they're getting paid the most money, and they're your stars typically. Mm-hmm. And if you're paying all that money to see the game, who wants to see like a Tom Brady backup? You're paying to see Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, your hardcores be like, oh, yeah, the third string quarterback. But who the fuck wants to watch that on TV?
Yeah, so I think auto racing might just end up virtual auto racing just might end up carrying this whole thing.
Maybe.
Just like they say, NASCAR was just hardly anybody watched it. And then the stars just aligned. There was a really big snowstorm in New England, so people were stuck home on this one day. And it was just one of NASCAR's biggest races of the year with one of the most dramatic finishes that they'd had in years. And people got hooked. So maybe that's going to happen again. Maybe it'll be a boost for virtual sports all around. Because up until this point, no one's taken it seriously.
Yeah. Or is the next virtual sport not... Is the next virtual sport going to replace a traditional sport? Like, yeah, it works in NASCAR because, I mean, their cars, there's a human element, the driver, but I mean...
Yeah,
that sport lends itself to being done virtually. Now, you know, baseball probably not so much.
Yeah, because that's the thing. There's how many online baseball games are there? There might be one where it's like you as the pitcher versus a friend as the batter, and you swap. But that's it. You're not going to have, one guy just playing left field. I mean, seriously, who's going to sign up to play left field on a virtual baseball game?
You never know, I guess.
You don't even get a good view of what's going on.
Yeah, I wonder if it will get like some new virtual sport that'll be born out of this, which is a real possibility.
Yeah.
Well, people just need things to bet on. I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I guess they got tired of betting on you know, their kids' fights. Like, which one will win today?
Yeah. What other sports would work virtually, do you think?
I don't know, not many. Tennis?
Yeah.
Tennis would be good.
Any two-player sport might work.
Yeah. Maybe like Atari tennis, have the players play Atari tennis.
Oh, no, no. You got to go back to Pong. It has to be original Atari Pong. Not even 2600. No microprocessors allowed. It has to be all discrete logic.
Yeah, I mean, why hasn't... I'm surprised that hasn't popped up like if on ESPN. I mean, yeah, I know they... There's those gaming leagues, but why don't they just have like athletes play, you know, a very basic game of something against each other?
Yeah,
because you could bet on it, and it's it's a somewhat level playing field.
Yeah, I know. I read, God, this was ages ago, late '90s. There was this online multiplayer flying game, and somehow they had like gone to this old folks home and gotten like these guys from the Flying Tigers and various other just World War II fighters, actual fighter pilots. And they were kicking the shit out of the young guys who were masters of the game.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that none of the old guys got shot down, and a lot of them were confused and didn't really know how to make it work, but the ones who got into it were virtually unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because first of all, they trained for this for months when they were young, and then they really knew how to make all of this stuff really work, because their lives were on the line. The ones who didn't get it died. So even though these guys were in their 70s at the time, because they got to be like in their 90s, 100 now. But yeah, they were kicking ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know those like the sports e-leagues, I guess they do okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess you could say maybe it's generational, but I haven't met anyone really that would say they watch like esports, like competitive. I'm sure maybe online. Like I know my kids, they'll watch those videos where people are playing and like Twitch streams and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll watch, World of Long Plays, but that's old games. And I typically only watch it if the game's only like 15 or 20 minutes to beat.
Yeah.
And even then I watch it at like 2x speed. It's like, get the fuck over with. But there were so many games I rented when I was a kid that I was never able to beat. Now I get to see the later levels and get to see the ending.
Yeah. Isn't that shit though frustrating on some level? Like a game that you tried to beat and played and you've played for a long time and you couldn't get very far. And now, you know, you go back now and look on YouTube and there's like some fucker that does it in like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's all there was to this game?
Yeah. But here's the thing. If you watch carefully, you can see the edits.
Yeah.
That's usually not one playthrough. That's usually they're using like emulators and save states. So every time they die, they rewind the game. And they actually have the software that records, ignores that part. Right? So it's pretty... You don't even see the jump cuts now.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you see these no-hit playthroughs. That might have taken the guy 4 hours to do a 15-minute game.
Oh, yeah. It's still frustrating, though. Especially when you see like some of the older games, and they only... You know, there's only a couple levels. It's not like there's like 100 levels or anything like that.
Yeah. That was how they gave you value for money. They made the games really hard so that you had to get good. So it would take you hours to get through and you'd have to burn through like 6 continues.
Yeah.
you couldn't just sit down and beat it on the first day.
Yeah, or just how terrible the game was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know we've talked before, like, how the big letdown on early video games is the box cover art was art. It painted this picture of such a great game that you played it, like, ugh. This is nothing like the box.
Yeah, but once you were disappointed once or twice, you got over it.
Yeah.
Once you learned that, you know, how fun is it? That's and also once rentals became big. You'd rent a game and you couldn't either you beat it, but it was really fun and there was a lot of hidden stuff that you missed, or you'd buy it and you didn't beat, or you rent it and you didn't beat it, so then you'd have to go buy it so that you could beat it.
Yeah. Or you would rent it and see how terrible the game was.
Yeah. That's one great thing, though, is you can go back and now with emulators, you can find all these games. I know. I remember renting one game. I could never remember what it was. I remember it was so much fun, and I didn't get very far in it, and it seemed like the game was huge. But I couldn't remember what it was, and it's only been in the last maybe 10 or 15 years I realized it was Metroid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I would ask people about it, and they didn't know what I was talking about because there were so many games that were exactly like it.
Yeah, wasn't Metroid supposed to be one of the hardest games? It's on the list, I think.
But like I said, I never got very far with it. Plus, it's one of those games that it really does last hours, if you know what you're doing. Now, they did that by having you have to backtrack a lot, and there's a lot of things that are you can't get. There's this ledge you just can't get to until you find something else. You don't know if you're doing wrong or if you just need to jump for like another 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's get to the next topic. That actually went pretty well for us.
All right. Okay, since we're not talking about why we're stuck at home, things that we could do when we're stuck at home are podcasts. Specifically, ones that don't suck. So, what are some podcasts? My list is pretty short. I only listened to one, so.
I don't know. Which one is it?
Or the purple stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Dinosaur Dracula and the Sexy Armpit. Okay. Which are two just nostalgia websites, although the Sexy Armpit doesn't update much anymore.
Yeah.
They're just two guys that grew up, one in like New Jersey, just across from Staten Island, the other guy in Staten Island, New York, which is actually just more New Jersey.
Yeah.
You have to drive through New Jersey to get to the rest of New York City.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird layout.
Yeah, and it takes 45 minutes.
Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah, there's no traffic. Oh, yeah, like now it would probably take you 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But on any given wait day, even if it's not rush hour, it's going to take half an hour to 45 minutes. Of course, you're trying to get into Manhattan, which is like the worst traffic.
Yes.
As an aside, one time, Dinosaur Dracula went from Staten Island to Brooklyn, I think. And now he left before rush hour, drove through rush hour, and got there after rush hour. It took him 4.5 hours. I looked on the map. I can get from Harrisburg to the I didn't know exactly what store he went to. Yeah. But I could get to the general area in about 5 hours if there's no traffic.
Yeah.
So that lays waste to the myth that if you live in the city, everything's close by. Yeah, it is, but you can't fucking get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was working in Brooklyn, the one guy there, he lived in Long Island.
Yeah.
So he would start work at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
To beat traffic, so he could beat traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would have to leave by like noon or like 1 o'clock. And he told me, he's like, I have to leave by like this time, because if I don't, it'll take me like 3.5 to 4 hours to get home.
Yeah.
But if I leave in this time, it'll take me like an hour, hour and a half to get home.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that sucks big time.
Yeah, and also, he was also working for Nickelodeon on Times Square for a few months. Or might have been a few years. Hell, I don't remember. But it took him, like, when the weather was bad, it could take him 4 hours to get to work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I couldn't live like that every single fucking day dealing with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're supposed to be talking about podcasts, but...
Yeah, but this is a podcast. We go where it takes us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
Well, even locally, when I was going into the office, I was working 6 to 2 or 5:30 to 2, depending on whether I wanted to take a half-hour lunch.
Yeah.
And... It was, if I left at like 2:15, 2:30, it was no problem. But if I left at 3, instead of like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes to get home, it'd be 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it could take as much as if I stayed another hour, if I left at 4 or 5, then it could take like half an hour to get home. This is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one good thing about working at home. You just kind of like roll out of bed.
Yeah.
Turn the computer on.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that, actually.
All right, so podcasts. I know you've actually been on some comedy podcasts.
Yeah, here and there. That's mainly, I listen to a lot of different... Actually, while this has been going on and stuff, I'm actually listening to less podcasts now than I was.
Yeah.
Now, I have a few.
Were you listening to them in the car while you were commuting?
Sometimes car, or I would listen to them at work.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I would listen to... Some of the comedy podcasts I'll still listen to occasionally if there's like a comedian on there that I want to hear,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But some of them I just stop listening to because I just get tired of listening to people talk about comedy. It's like, well, I want to do, you know, my own thing. So I don't want all this like extra influence of or weird things going on.
Yeah.
These
people were talking about comedy, not doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah. That's normally like what comedy podcasts are.
Okay.
They're just other comics talking about like the nuts and bolts of comedy.
Yeah. And I can understand that would be real interesting for someone that does comedy. I was kind of open for recommendations.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, sometimes they get into that. It's not like when they're on shows like that. Yeah, that comes up a little bit, but it's not like the entire podcast.
Yeah.
And when they talk about it, it's more of like, you know, like terrible gigs that they've had and just the way people react and like that. Yeah, maybe for somebody that's not really interested or doesn't do comedy, that stuff there may not be interesting for them, but if you do it and you've lived through some of it, it's like you can definitely relate to it. It's like, oh yeah, that's why that sucks so bad.
Yeah, kind of as an aside, I think I might need to start doing stand-up just to try to liven up our shows.
Yeah, you're you definitely could use some work in that area.
I've gotten a lot better. Even the one time you saw us, it still wasn't one of my better nights.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, there's, you know, you're primarily doing music, so.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to stop the show, and I'm going to do a 7-minute set for you. I mean, it would be great because it'd be such a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, if you did that all the time, it'd be tough. Because that's essentially like just doing hosting an open mic, but then doing like several minutes in between each comic, which I've been to those mics, and that's fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, podcasts that I listen, I like. There's Your Mom's House. I'll listen to that occasionally.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll listen to Rogan's podcast if he has a comedian on there that I listen, that I like or have an interest in. His podcast, so has the problem I have with his podcast is like when he starts talking about fucking hunting or like working out, it's like, all right, we get it. You like the hunt and you like to work out. We don't have to keep talking about it. That's normally when it's like, eh, it's time to hit the fast forward.
Oh, that's another great thing about podcasts. I always listen to them at like, at least 10% faster.
You see, I can't do that. That bothers me. I can't do that.
Oh, I get used to it.
Yeah.
Especially the purple stuff, they're from New York, New Jersey, so they talk real fast anyway.
Yeah.
So making them talk even faster,
yeah.
you have to slow them down to 90% just to make them sound normal.
I'll listen to another one called it's a weekly. It's called Tuesdays with Stories, and that's Mark Norman and Joe List. I do like that one, but that podcast can just one episode can be very tiring because I mean they're both New York comics, and they got kind of like this breakneck pace to them.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like how their personalities are. And
Listen
I
to them
just,
on 0.9% speed.
yeah, maybe. But it can be a little tiring sometimes. But probably my like standard one that I like to listen to is it's called the Mike O'Mara Show. And that's I like that podcast because they actually run that podcast like a radio show. Like the audio quality is super good because they take a lot of pride in that because I mean they're all former radio guys. So like the audio quality is excellent and it's just the type of show they do because it's just more of like, hey, we're gonna do segments and they run their show pretty tight. And so it's a fun listen more than anything. You're not gonna come out of it like, oh, I need to think about this or whatever. It's just purely entertainment without being like hacky and stuff like that.
I do remember there's one, I guess it's a podcast, or at least it is now. I think it might even have predated the term. There's a site called Fred. And that's the name of the site, a site called Fred.com. If you go to Fred.com, it probably brings up that YouTube guy. But he interviews some interesting people, some ex-Mr. Science Theater type people, and just some obscure comedians and things, various celebrities you might be interested in. But here's the deal. When you interview somebody that I'm not interested in, it's not interesting. I mean, it's kind of like the Letterman Leno thing. In my opinion, Leno could interview somebody that he nor anyone in the audience gave two shits about and get a great interview out of them. Letterman, if he wasn't into the person, it was going to be a terrible interview because he was bored with the guest, so the audience would be bored with the guest, and he couldn't just savagely attack them, and no one had ever come on a show again. So he'd just sit there and try to act interested, and it was terrible. That was why I always watched like Letterman's stand up, and then I'd switch over to Leno's interviews, and then I'd fall asleep. Yeah, I don't know how many of the Letterman fanboys it's Yeah, I admit his stand up, his jokes and things were better, but he was terrible at interviewing people, and that was two-thirds of the show. And I never stayed up late enough to watch Coco, so.
Yeah, I would. I definitely would say like early David Letterman. I mean, I guess overall, you know, Dave has never been a great interviewer.
Yeah.
And you're definitely right. I mean, when he's into him, it's good. But then if it's like something that where, you know, he doesn't have a lot of interest in, it can be tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should have just given him like more of a comedy show.
Yeah.
A half hour comedy show.
Yeah, because he does like very, when he's on, you know, his humor is very biting, and you know, he's just got that you know, that Midwestern anger. Mm-hmm. That it's not full anger; it's just like under the surface. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never liked Leno because he was just like.
Like I said, he was a master interviewer. He would make me interested in people I didn't give two shits about.
Yeah.
He would get good stories out of them. He was just so likable.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about racism?
Yeah, that's why I'll always defend Leno, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we beat the podcast topic down.
Yeah. Okay, so your next one. What will you be doing after society falls? That's right, crowd. We actually prepared for this one a little bit.
Yeah, take that. Hey, it's working out better for us, still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, like a lot of stuff that I like that I've been like reading here and there is I like reading this stuff like, you know, the longer this goes on, what is like the type of impact mm-hmm. it's going to have on people. And, you know, I don't think society's definitely going to fall. I definitely think it's going to be different after this, depending how long it goes too.
That's what I was saying to my dad last night. If this shit's over by summer, then people are going to talk about it like the recession of 2008. It didn't really change anything.
Yeah.
But if it keeps going on and on and on, then, yeah, some pretty drastic shit's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not really going to hazard too much of a guess about what's going to happen in the real world. let's keep it to the topic.
Yeah.
All right. Michelle says that she's going to be whoring me out for supplies. I'm like the double threat, you know, because not only I'm extremely smart, but I can keep shit working.
Yeah.
You know, I, for whatever reason, years ago, I was studying, I just had this old lawnmower and I was looking for things to do with it that would be fun, like converting a lawnmower to run on steam power.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? You have to convert the camshaft. And it typically doesn't have a – with a typical motor, you just – you'd put like a small block Chevy, for instance. You would take off the – you have a big pulley and a small pulley on the cam. You either put two big ones or two small ones on there and adjust the chain so that it runs at the same speed because you're basically making it like a two-stroke intake exhaust.
Yeah.
Simple. Now – getting it to actually work, not so simple. Getting the water out of the oil to keep it from seizing up, not so simple. But making it run for a couple days is pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what I would do. I don't know if I want to be one of those guys that starts like some kind of new town or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if TV and books have taught us anything, is that, you know, if there is some kind of apocalypse, that there's still plenty of assholes in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, just especially how people are now, just if something that terrible did happen, you know how bad these like little factions of people would be?
Yeah.
It would just be terrible. Mm-hmm. You'd have your cannibals probably, and then you'd have, I don't know what. It just seems like every other, like any other town you would go to, it would just be full of, like you would never know like what their deal is.
Yeah.
Like, are these the nice people, or are these the people that eat you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I would kind of go at it alone, just at first, and see how things are going to go.
Yeah.
And depending how bad things go, it's like, I don't know, do you really want to stay with me? And how do you keep working? Do you have jobs or what?
Yeah. Somebody Michelle knows was saying, oh, yeah, we should have been raising our own chickens and things like that. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. I mean, chickens, maybe, because chickens can forage for food that we can't eat.
Yeah.
But by and large, you're probably going to be, you know, feeding them far more edible food. You know, cut out the middle chicken. Just eat the goddamn vegetables yourself.
Yeah, then you got to take care of them and stuff like that.
Yeah, now they can eat things that we can't. So there is some advantage to keeping them around, but you can't really depend on them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think people get excited like, oh, let's have a few chickens. It's like, it's still something you have to take care of.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't really want to keep them in the house. And if you keep them outside, somebody else might steal them or...
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this topic would be a little better. I wonder if housing developments will be like their own little towns then.
Yeah.
Which will be really funny because, you know, let's go down to, you can't go to the Shady Oaks area because they like to eat people.
Yeah.
And don't go over to Riverside because they like to eat dogs over there for some reason.
Mm-hmm. That is one thing. You'll get to experience what all these animals taste like.
Yeah. Yeah, diet of squirrels and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm from West Virginia. I probably could have partaken of most of these things. I'll stay neutral as to whether I actually did or not.
Then you'll have another town where they have guns, but they're not very good. They don't know how to use them very well, so there's a lot of accidental shootings in that town.
Yeah.
You mean this barrel is supposed to point away from me?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Or maybe it'll be like, I know you haven't seen it, but the movie The Warriors, where the whole plot of The Warriors is about this gang that's trying to get from one part. They're trying to... Wherever they are in New York City, they're trying to get to their turf, which is like Coney Island.
You know, I've actually seen this, but I don't remember a fucking thing about it.
Yeah. Like the whole concept, like the movie was made in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies where the concept is kind of odd, and I guess the movie could have went either way because you're dealing with street gangs, then they got to kind of, some of them need to be odd. Like there's one street gang where they all dress up as baseball players and they carry bats.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have like face paint on and stuff. And that's how they fight with their baseball bats. So yeah. I can imagine things like that happening.
Yeah. Different cargo cults rise up.
Yeah. I definitely don't think I'd be And then you'd have to deal with the religious zealots too. They would be terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I don't know what I'm gonna do. I guess we'll figure it out when it happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like something you can really plan for, even though some people say, oh, yeah, you can pray. I don't think you can prepare for that.
Yeah. Okay, how about the next topic?
Okay.
Your neighbors. Do you actually know any of them?
I'd say more acquaintance than anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say... Like, no. At one point, we did.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, most of those, man, they've all moved away.
Yeah, that's the thing about living in a neighborhood of mostly, like, starter homes.
Yeah. So now, like...
Yeah, well, the thing is, they've all moved and taken on, like, new mortgages, and your house will be paid off in, like, what, 5 years?
Maybe 10. I don't... Yeah, 10 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, like in our neighborhood where we are, we're like the old people on the block, even though we're not that old, because our kids are teenagers, and the people around us that have kids, they're all like young kids.
Yeah.
And then there's like two single yeah. guys that live around here. But yeah.
Do you have like your kids like shake down the other kids for Halloween candy or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, my kids are driving, so.
Yeah, do you need to buy a car?
Now, I'm going to need one that's running.
Oh, no. When I get done with this thing. Yeah, I know you don't trust me as a mechanic, but yeah, it's going to have like half of the engine's going to be new.
Yeah. Is that the HHR?
Yeah. It's actually been pretty easy so far.
Yeah.
The problem is just getting to everything because I have no way to get the engine out of the car. Although with these newer cars, typically you pick the engine up, you leave the engine in place and you pick the car up off it.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have a lift or anything like that, so I'm just kind of doing it the hard way. But seriously, the other guitarist in my band did it on his mom's car in her driveway, like in the middle of winter. So if he can do that, then I can do it in the springtime inside of a garage with proper tools.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she was supposed to go get her license.
Yeah.
By now. But everything's closed, so
mm-hmm.
kind of delays that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's going to need a car eventually.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't sell it to you anyway, because any tiny little thing goes wrong with the car, you're going to come back to me for it.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I'll sell it to you for like, you know, $1,000 less than Blue Book value. But by God, I'm never hearing a damn thing about this car again. It doesn't even exist as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I don't know that I could. Actually, I think the private party value is $2,500.
Yeah.
The dealer value on the car is $1,500.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as this car leaves here, it's dead to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to fix it up, and I'm trying not to get in over my head.
Yeah.
While I've got the thing apart, I'm going to go ahead and replace the water pump, because that's inside the engine, apparently. I've replaced water pumps before. The only thing that's new is replacing the chain. I've replaced the chain on a bicycle. It's a lot more difficult. You have to get the timing right, but there's big arrows on the things. All you have to do is line up all the arrows.
That makes it easy.
Yeah. As long as you're smart and you get the engine at top dead center, then it's all pretty simple.
Yeah.
And also the thing is, if I ruin it, I was going to junk it anyway. So I'm out the $280 for the rebuild kit.
Yeah.
So it's worth it just for the fun. And if it actually does work, I'll probably go ahead and replace the headlights.
Yeah.
Because they're frosty. I'll go ahead and replace them on this car. And the ones on Michelle's HHR are a lot better. I might actually take hers and polish them and put them on this car, put brand new ones on hers.
Okay.
But they're not that expensive. I'll probably just go ahead and replace all four.
So do you know any of your neighbors?
The guy across the street that's the fucking Trump supporter.
Yeah.
I know him really well because he's always out in his front yard, and I go out and walk a lot.
Yeah.
Plus, he mows lawns for money on the side, and we've had him cut our grass a few times. It's cheaper than having it done by a pro, and he does a good job, but it still costs way more than doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Especially with gas. My God, we live right next to a gas station. I think it's like $1.75.
Yep. Yeah, I got gas yesterday, and it was like $1.76 a gallon.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the HHR is almost out of gas, so I'm probably going to top up the lawnmowers and then take those 2.5 and 1 gallon gas tanks that I have and pour whatever gallon or two is left into that car. And then just go fill them up.
Yeah. Well, with gas being so cheap now, what I do is I just leave my cars running all the time.
Yeah.
So that way, if I need to leave, I can just go out and get in my car and go.
Yeah, the car's already air conditioned, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the heater's on, or both.
With gas prices this cheap, folks, you can't afford not to do this.
Yeah. I'll just say I'm glad I stocked up on Stable. So I can keep this gas for 6 months. I went to start my Mazda and it would barely start. The battery was low. Yeah, that's something. I hadn't driven it in so long, and the car's got so many fucking electronics these days, and it's keyless ignition, so it's basically always on.
Yeah.
And I went out to it and it's like, yeah, I went out Saturday. I had an appointment for 12:30 to give blood at the Capital City Mall at the food court.
Yeah.
Now, I get there. There is, like, 2 cars in the parking lot. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, lights are on inside, but all the doors are locked. And the bus isn't there. I'm like, well, maybe it's on the other side. So I drove around the mall. There's nothing. Nobody there. And it was, I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I got here like 15 minutes early. So then I had to go to work and pick up some stuff, some binder clips or whatever. And, of course, my turtle calendar.
Yeah.
Drove home, and then I checked my email. Apparently, the 10th was on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was Saturday. I guess they didn't need the blood that badly. They didn't call me.
Yeah, I gotta go get blood also. Yeah.
I mean, they need it, and I got the ovipositor. That's how I remember it's O positive, because I can't remember O positive.
Yeah, I'm
that's like the universal donor, I think. I can give blood to almost anybody.
Yeah, I'm the fancy blood. I'm O negative.
Yeah.
So I walk in there and I just tease them. Like, you want some of this? I'm just trying to do the Lord's work, Dave. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Okay, as far as my other neighbors, no, I've met all of them, but I don't know any of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just going over to the neighbor's house to ask them who took down their trees, because I have a dead tree I need cut down. And it was like introducing for the first time. It had been probably 2 years since I had talked to these people, maybe yeah. longer.
Yeah, that's only embarrassing if like one of their kids die and you accidentally bring it up. Like, hey, what happened? Didn't you have two kids? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they had four.
Well, then after you reach a certain point, it's like, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. We've met the elderly couple that lives behind us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you know, like May-December romances where it's like a 19 and like a 80-year-old.
Yeah.
This is like a 60-year-old and an 80-year-old. Which is interesting, you know.
Yeah. So it's an 80-year-old guy and a 60-year-old woman?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But he looks young and she looks older, so we wouldn't have known.
Man, that's. I wonder how long they've been together. That's.
They said they moved here 10 years ago from Lemoyne.
Yeah.
Because they had a 2-story house, and he had trouble getting upstairs.
I've been cheating on him with a spry 70-year-old.
Yeah.
Hey, do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Never know. He might be the talk of his bridge club or something.
Yeah.
I'm crushing that 60-year-old pussy, guys.
My dad has a bunch of... I mean, he golfs, so he's got a lot of really old friends.
Yeah.
People are like 91, 92. They're not leaving the house.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's on fire, they're not leaving the house. They're having... Like, they're having their kids bring their food to them. I mean, they're not even having food delivered, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess your dad can still play golf, right? Because that's...
No, there's only... He can. There's literally one golf course still open. It's on the military base.
Okay.
Since he's ex-Army, he can go. Yeah, I think... Most of the golf clubs are closed now.
Yeah.
It was, you could play golf because, hell, you're out there and only like 2 or 3 people. That's less than a group of 10.
Yeah.
But you weren't allowed to go into the clubhouse or get any food or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They might even still be open.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think, yeah. Compared to some of the other things that's still open, I'm surprised some golf courses aren't.
Yeah.
Because I always forget how essential McDonald's is until I go past it.
Yeah.
Because I like to go in there and, like, anytime I see McDonald's, I'll stop and thank them for their service. Mm-hmm. All right, so we sort of know our neighbors.
Yeah.
I guess that's a plus.
All right, so we still have to fill about 15 minutes.
Really?
Well, we've been talking for over an hour, but we didn't start until like 15 minutes in because we wanted to cut all the Corona stuff.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Okay, so I had a few extra things. Oh my God, I paid that much for this book? Yeah, I bought it new so the guy would get the money. Walter Luer. You know who that is?
Wait, what's his name again?
Walter Luer.
No.
My life in Johnny Thunder's Heartbreakers in the words of the last man standing.
All right.
The only guy from Johnny... Well, Richard Hell is still alive, but they kicked him out early on.
Yeah.
But of the classic lineup, there's only one guy who didn't die from heroin. And that's because he quit the music industry. Became a fucking stockbroker.
And how is Iggy Pop still alive?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, maybe some people just develop a tolerance for it, I guess.
Yeah. Because he was a big heroin user, or maybe still is. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Iggy just showed up in a movie, like last year. because he was playing a zombie, which was kind of fitting for him, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't even need the makeup.
Yeah. And, of course, he was still shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. He's still kicking.
Yeah, but this book's good. He knows where his bread is buttered. Like, yeah. There's a few chapters of him leading up to joining the Heartbreakers. And then the entire book basically covers about a year and a half. And then the very last chapter covers everything after the Heartbreakers. Unfortunately, that also includes when he was playing with the Ramones.
Yeah.
He played on three of their albums, but like you said, he only actually played on one.
Yeah.
On one album, he went in and learned all the songs and basically doubled all John's guitar parts. And played the guitar solos. On the other two albums, they just brought him in to play a solo or two.
Okay.
Yeah, so he said he went through, like, they had to rehearse for a month for him to get all the songs down.
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen that video of Marky Ramone and Johnny Rotten?
I think
it's from, like, maybe a year ago, maybe. I don't know.
I didn't watch it because I don't really care what either of them has to say.
Well, it's not good for that. It's just good. It's funny to watch the clip of it because it just eventually devolves into, like, Marky yelling at Johnny Rotten and them yelling at each other back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's so great to watch it because – they're in, like, this panel, and there's a bunch of other, like, old punk guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, like, everyone else is like, just shut up, you guys.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it. You're both old guys now. Let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, Walter had some not too flattering things to say about Johnny Rotten.
Yeah.
He said, like, when he first met him, before the Pistols were all that big, he was a decent person, but it got to his head pretty quickly.
I can see that.
Yeah, and he also in Marky Ramone's book, which was pretty good, he mentioned that his brother, he has a twin brother who played guitar. Well, he was in a band with Walter Luhr. And he said that, yeah, whatever his name was, he only lasted like a month because he's literally insane. not crazy. He is insane, like debilitatingly insane, had like schizophrenia or something. And it got to where he could not even play the guitar.
Yeah.
So they had to like throw him out. And of course, I think he recovered. I mean, they have a lot better medicine today than they did in the early 70s.
Oh my God, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way they would treat people is...
Yeah.
It's definitely... I don't know. I don't know what the thinking was, but, like, some of the way they treated people is like, really? Crazy. Because I had an uncle like that. Like, they had him on all sorts of, like, hardcore medicine and fucking pills because they didn't know how to treat.
Yeah. It was the best they had.
Yeah. Like, cause they had them on like lithium and all sorts of other shit.
Yeah. And Michelle was on lithium there for a while until it started messing with her kidneys.
Yeah.
And it works. It's just at high doses, it starts to have so many side effects.
Well, you take that, then, mixing it with other meds and things like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of trial and error. Let's just say a lot of error.
Yeah, that's probably what killed the guy from Joy Division. He wasn't schizophrenic. He had, like, minor depression.
Yeah.
And then he developed seizures. So the only thing they had to treat it back then was depressants. Yeah. And he already had depression. So it pushed him over the edge, I think. That's me talking.
Yeah. Well, you could be right, though. I mean, seriously, I mean, they didn't know how to treat. And when they did,
yeah,
even for, like, something like that, they would put him on, like, such a hardcore,
yeah,
heavy dose of meds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially with antidepressants, you know, it's different for every person. Than,
yeah,
especially when you're stopping and starting and changing medicine, it can be.
Yeah, and antidepressants are so subtle anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, because I don't know what I did, but I don't take them anymore.
Yeah.
Just somewhere along the way, I found I didn't really need them. So I went off them, then back on them, and then off them. But I've just been off.
Yeah. Yeah, I found, like, for, like, I have, you know, they've said I have anxiety. And, yeah. And I do to a certain point, but then it's almost ridiculous, too. But then, since I've lost my weight and stuff from last year, I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Like things, like, I don't even have, I feel like I don't even have it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think my weight and everything else was playing a part in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it just wasn't my weight. There's probably other things too, but.
Well, it's kind of self-medicating with food.
I wasn't like self-medicating with food. I was just lazy. That's why I was so clean. It was just that's really what it was. It's just I wasn't watching what I was eating. Then
yeah,
I just had some bad eating habits. But I never ate like, oh, I feel bad, I need to eat. It was just pure laziness.
Yeah.
And I just decided to finally take it serious and keep it off and stuff. And
yeah. Whereas I still eat garbage. My eating habits haven't changed, just the quantities.
Oh, and yeah, and that too. Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff, obviously I'm eating better, but I still eat garbage from time to time. I just don't eat a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't eat an entire box of ice cream. I don't eat the entire bag of chips.
Exactly.
Or if I do, it's because I bought the smallest bag of chips they had.
Yeah.
But when I am feeling stressed, I do tend to buy the big quantity and just go nuts.
Yeah.
I think every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to cut loose occasionally.
Yeah.
It's just that, are you really only doing this occasionally?
Yeah.
Just like it's okay to get drunk occasionally, but are you really only doing this occasionally?
Yeah, I read this. I know, you know, we're trying to stay somewhat off virus stuff, but this is this is related to it. So I read this article, and it was talking about how like these food companies have recently seen spikes in their products, like brands that were like on the verge of dying and just weren't very popular anymore, but since it had like all that panic buying, like Campbell's Soup now, like they can't keep up with production, and like all these other, like, you know, like frozen pizzas. But what, like one of the quotes in it is basically the guy saying, it's like, yeah, now people are buying these and they're kind of revisiting it on like nostalgia or to get them through. And they're realizing that, you know, that this food doesn't taste like shit anymore. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course. I mean, I would have loved it if the guy from like Kraft was like, yeah, people realize this stuff doesn't taste like shit anymore. But I mean, that is a very valid point, because I can remember being a kid and like a lot of that processed food and stuff, it was terrible tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it still is. But even like the off-brand cereal and stuff now is caught up to like the name brand stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just funny now that people, because of this, people have reverted back to like Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. Well, part of it is because it keeps.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. And that's one part of it. It's because it keeps and it's comfort food as well, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even like frozen pizza, it used to be okay, but now it's actually pretty decent and you can get good frozen pizza.
Mm-hmm. One of the things is when you freeze it, certain spices lose their spice.
Yeah.
And they've kind of found out ways to get around that. Is, you know, use other substitutes that don't lose all their flavor when you freeze them.
Everyone knew that Chef Boyardee was going to make a comeback.
I never realized it wasn't doing well.
Yeah. Well, because people are, you know, somewhat eating healthy, and when you, most of that stuff is because it's preserved, so it's salty.
Yeah. All right. The other thing I found, I might have to censor this. Well, no one's going to listen to it anyway, but just in case, I found somebody uploaded the entire run of National Lampoon magazines to just this site that has nothing but like vacation pictures otherwise.
Okay.
I have no idea why. I was looking up some obscure article from National Lampoon just to amuse myself to see if I could find it. And I found the guy had uploaded every single, I guess he had bought a DVD, possibly a bootleg, that had every single issue, period. Might even have been an official release, but I know it was probably a DVD because it was about DVD size after I downloaded everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
What site is that?
LuckyFrogFarms.com/cook/NL.
Okay.
I probably already maxed out the guy's bandwidth. I swear. I mean, it was every, he didn't have the special issues. He didn't have, you know, the other things like that. It was just the regular run of the magazine.
Yeah.
But most of the special issues were just reprints. So he had, you know, the stuff that you wanted. And I was able to find, I had one issue that my uncle let me read, and I always thought it was the best issue because I only read it a few times and then lost access to it.
Yeah.
So now I'm able to go back and revisit that one issue. And I realized that when he let me read it, I must have been 10. My parents were pretty permissive. It wasn't like he gave it to me under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a pretty hard R-rated material.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was back when they still showed tits, and not just tits.
Yeah.
I mean, like, full frontal, male and female, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, probably NC-17. My parents knew, and they didn't care. I mean, he gave me Hustler Humor magazines, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Like a Penthouse Forum special issue.
At least you're reading.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a bit older when he gave me those.
Yeah.
And I think he actually asked my mom's permission.
Well, I can see why. I mean, it was the brand Hustler.
Yeah. Now, the Hustler Humor was just like National Lampoon. Really hard, but still humor.
Yeah.
And even the Penthouse Forum or whatever it was still written stories. It didn't have very much actual porn in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it still probably would have been R-rated.
I found some snuff films for your son to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, but my mom gave me out and out porn certainly before I was out of high school.
Yeah.
And I never get tired of saying that she rented porn for you.
You know, that the one thing, like the one piece of technology that is bad, but it's still great, I think, to this day, and that you can't really get, is the videotape.
Yeah.
And the recorded videotape, because what makes the videotape is so great, especially when people had them at their house, just the different stuff that was recorded on them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you grab one of those tapes, you never know what's going to be on it.
This is weird. Michelle bought a digitizer and has been digitizing all of her old home movies this week.
Yeah.
I don't know how that came up, but man, that's great. Getting to see all these, first of all, old home movies.
Yeah.
She went on a trip to the Midwest, and like whoever was in the passenger seat just had the camera on sometimes for hours while they were just talking.
Yeah.
So you get to see all this just, you know, landscape, all these old cars from the 70s and 80s on the road.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like a peak in time.
Yeah.
That you can't get now.
Yeah, and well, hell, like they said on the Purple Stuff, you know, it's great to watch the old TV shows, but what really gets you is the old advertisements.
Yeah.
I mean, because you remember watching a TV show, but you're entertained by it. As far as just a pure nostalgia trip, watch the old commercials.
Yeah.
Because you saw those fuckers like 8 or 10 times a day. They became like surrogate relatives. And they're right. I won't watch old TV shows from that era, but I'll watch compilations of old 80s commercials. I don't know why that is.
That could be because a lot of those shows from the 80s do not hold up and weren't very good to begin with. I mean, seriously, have you ever, like a few months ago, like Knight Rider was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't like seen that in forever. And I was like, you know what? I'm curious. I have to see how bad this is going to be.
Oh, God. I saw an episode of it. It was fucking awful.
Yes.
It did was. Not age well.
Yeah, it doesn't age well, and the writing is really not that great.
Also, it was for kids, you know? Kiddie stuff doesn't hold up, does it? I mean, some of it does, some of it doesn't. But.
Well, what's funny is that, yeah, I guess it was sort of like I would say maybe a tween show, I guess, was probably the target audience.
Yeah.
You know, like 12 to 13-year-old boys, maybe.
Yeah.
And like the episode that was on, it was about he was helping this like lady in this town,
mm-hmm.
from this set of bikers, and like the sheriff was involved.
Yeah,
but the whole thing, it's like it had this weird overtone. It's like, hey, yeah, like this biker gang comes in the town every couple months. You know, they're not that bad. Sure, they bust up a few things and rape a few women, but yeah, you know. It's kind of like par for the course around here. But it was like there was like a weird rapey overtone to this one episode.
Yeah.
But that's what it was like. This is a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some stuff like that too that's great. Like if you. Like the movies Death Wish, those Death Wish movies are terrible,
mm-hmm.
but that's what makes them so good, because they are so bad. Because especially as each one progresses, you can definitely see that Charles Bronson is there just to collect the check.
Yeah.
Especially as you get deeper into the sequels. Like you kind of knew in the first one. Like, he was probably, like, teetering in his career, And his agent said, yeah, you should probably do this. It's kind of a tough guy thing for you. Keep your tough guy image. Mm-hmm. But then you can tell by even like the second or third one, he's like, you can just read it on his face. Like, yeah, I'm here to just to collect a check. Say whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're practically just waiting for each scene to end and with him just his hand out. It's like, all right, it's the end of the day. Pay me.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaws 4 was like that, I heard. Now, that movie actually has its fans. And again, because it's such a Mystery Science Theater type movie.
Oh, yeah, because it's so terrible.
Yeah.
And it does. It makes you question. It's like, how to... It just shows you just, like, how in the movie business, you know, with the right pitch and the right money, you can get anything made.
Yeah. Yeah, and how many good movies died because they had bad marketing because they didn't know how to sell it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then you have
it wasn't that they weren't trying. They just didn't know how to sell it. How do you connect this movie with its audience? If you go out there with a hokey ad campaign, well, maybe that's what it takes.
Yeah, and like the movies
That's why there's cult movies, you know?
Oh, yeah. Those cult movies are like the perfect examples. Like, it's a small movie normally.
Yeah.
And it just everything hits on the right cylinders, but it just doesn't get legs in the theaters. But then after people find it and word of mouth, then that's it.
Well, even what was it, Heaven's Gate, that completely bankrupted the one movie studio? People watch it now. It's like, this movie's great. It has nothing but bad reviews. I mean, Ishtar doesn't have much of an audience. But, yeah, a lot of the old bombs are actually seen as, oh, this was actually a good movie. It just stiffed, you know?
Yeah.
Either it was marketed wrong or it had too much bad publicity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even, like Weird Al's movie, UHF. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some great stuff in that, but it came out the same time as the original Batman.
Yeah.
And got completely lost.
Yeah, and also, I think that movie kind of missed its mark.
Well, what do you mean exactly?
The plot was kind of boring and generic. The comedy scenes, the skits were great.
Yeah.
I think they should have done more skits. It should have been more like Tunnel Vision.
Yeah.
Where it's only a loose plot to kind of wrap, you know. Okay, Weird Al has a TV station, so you see a little bit of that. And then this is the programming that's on it. And in the background, they show some of the stuff about him trying to save the show.
Yeah. You know, like a perfect... I hear exactly what you're saying. There is a movie called Super Troopers. It's like 20 years old now. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy. And when you watch that movie, it's fascinating because the way that they wrote the movie, where they actually in the movie, they'll actually do bits within the movie that actually it has no bearing on the plot or anything like that. It's just we want to do this joke. And it's one of the few comedy movies where you find where the movie essentially stops just so you can do these funny bits kind of in between, and it doesn't advance the story.
Yeah.
But it works in that frame. It works, especially for comedy. It's sometimes it can be very difficult to pull off, but it works from a comedy. If your bits are good and the jokes are good, it can work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is if you took a couple of the Al TV specials and took the skits out of them and then got rid of most of the plot from UHF and just kind of made this, like, remix.
Yeah.
Probably be the best thing ever.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to those things, it's probably, you know, you get producers involved and they're like, we need to have a story. There has to be a story, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do sometimes, especially depending on what you're making.
Yeah.
I mean, even there is, I mean, you need a little bit of a plot. Even a movie that's, you know, completely improv has a basic story, because you still need a beginning, middle, and an end. Because if not, then it's just going to drag nowhere.
Well, there have been successful skit movies where it's nothing but skits. But
yeah, no, I'm saying skits is one thing, but when you're like trying to make a movie with a loosely connected story, I guess maybe it's the better the wording. Yeah. Especially in those times, it happens now where there's some producer like, you need a story. You need something the audience can connect with. Yeah, the thing that pisses me off about comedy movies right now is like the big bit is because people were afraid to say things afraid to push buttons or whatever. It's like a lot of comedy movies you see now, they come out and it's like, we'll have sassy kids saying all the wild stuff because that's wild and safe.
Somewhat. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch a movie where kids are doing that, because I have kids, and if I want, I can do that with them.
Yeah.
They make a funny movie for adults. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we got it now.
An entire episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's actually a little long.
Well, let's wrap up then.
All right, so this was Couch Something Another.
Yeah, does the numbers even matter?
I like numbering them.
Well, I mean, it does. I mean, it does matter.
We don't care. Yeah. It's just something to write on the website.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll see you next time. I'm Ron.
I'm Dave.
Bye.